good. Good morning, everybody. Happy weekend, and I hope you're ready for a good weekend. It's going to be busy, busy, busy for me. Got loads of things lined up. Just some fun and some work.
Are you DJing somewhere?
No, I'm not DJing anywhere, Ben. I'm not DJing anywhere. No, I've got a friend coming out from America.
Ooh,
and nice. then we've got Eric Weinstein in the country, which will be exciting. He's just one of the smartest people in the world. And I'm going to be spending a bit of time with him over this weekend. And I'm a little bit nervous about it because he's so goddamn clever.
So you feel dumb, right?
So you don't want to say anything?
No, I feel like... just keep quiet?
I feel like you see those creatures that kind of... like a fish when it's out of the water and it's just flapping around like this. I feel like that. Because I think this guy's
give yourself
so clever.
More credit. He's telling his friends, he's telling his friends, oh, there's this really smart guy that I forgot that I'm spending time with.
Nonsense.
You know how many morons that guy spends time with? Because everybody wants his attention. He's like, oh,
we will see.
Interview.
We will see. And then there's a whole lot of other stuff happening too. Just, seeing some friends, spending some time with family. I've got a busy weekend ahead, which I'm excited about. Usually weekends I like to just keep open and see what happens.
Okay.
But this weekend's full of activities. So by Monday I'll be tired again.
It's also the start of winter. So
it is.
You can
it
do
really
all those
is.
Things. Yeah.
1st of May, right? Is that when you officially declare it?
Well, I mean, it's just that we've had such amazing hot weather now. Mm. It's like the last thingy, and now it's just going to go.
Well, I always do the no heaters, no electric blankets, no winter food until May. So that starts this week. Yes, and of course we've got a public holiday on the 1st of May.
I'm so happy.
Which is Wednesday next week.
Yes.
Good stuff. So you get an extra bonus day, but it's in the middle of the week, which is a bit of a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like one on a Saturday, but we don't count those ones. Those ones must actually be moved.
This Saturday is a public holiday, but nobody cares because it's not... we don't get a bonus day.
Mm. Oh, wow.
No, you don't get anything on a Saturday. If the public holiday falls on a Saturday, it's like... the lottery, when you get like all the numbers except that last number. And you get
two numbers.
Or you get no numbers.
What's the holiday tomorrow?
Freedom Day.
Freedom
27th of April.
Is coming tomorrow.
And here we are 30 years later with Election Day rolling around again.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
Are you enjoying talking to these politicians?
So we had Musi Maimane
in here
yesterday.
I bring it
yesterday.
Up because you had Musi on here yesterday.
Yeah, we had Musi in here yesterday. We had John Steenhuisen in the week before. Mm. We had Hlengwa from the IFP. We had Pieter from the Vryheidsfront Plus. We've had Herman Mashaba. I think we've spoken to all the leaders except at this stage. Zuma from MK, Cyril from the ANC, both of whom I don't think will come, and Julius from the EFF. Otherwise, we've spoken to everybody. And I think Songezo is also on the lineup, so... we'll get to them all. Have I enjoyed it? I mean, it's...
well, yeah, because it's election season, right? So they're going to be lying or trumping up ideas that aren't going to ever materialize.
I don't know. I mean...
I mean, the reason I bring this up is that you get to speak to brilliant people like Eric Weinstein, right? I mean,
yeah,
also your local politicians.
I'm more interested, like I'm way more excited to talk to him than I would be to talk to a politician. But I'm more excited to... talk to you and Simpiwe every week than I am to any politician.
Yeah, because those niggas lie.
They lie and they're not very funny or interesting. And you can just tell that they almost all of them. And there have been one or two who've done better than others.
Mm-hmm.
They're more convincing. You can tell they mean half of what they say.
Mm.
Those ones are better, but... they're still, you know, they're pandering. They're like, they'll say anything to get people to vote for them.
Yeah.
And that is why I hate politics. It's why I would never go into politics, is because you would have to spend so much of your time just trying to get people to love you. And I can think of no worse thing on planet Earth than trying to make people love you. Working hard every day to get people who don't know you to care about you. What a horrible way to live.
Some people are actually how they live.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you come from a base of love and people that should care about you and you have value in society. But if you don't, you're constantly seeking that. So that's the actual perfect job fit in many ways.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not having a stab at politicians here. My biggest gripe is the dumbasses that vote for these people.
Hi, Bosana. You can't say that.
Are you going to vote?
Sure.
You're going to vote for
some
people?
So then you're part of the dumbasses then.
I will vote for the least dumbass, the ones
but
that
you're part
are the
of
most
that
captain.
Group.
Yeah, but I'm not voting for people
voting?
Who are not proven.
Of course.
Okay, so then you're also a dumbass.
That's how it's a
I'm not saying voters are dumbasses. I'm saying the people who constantly keep like voting for these like just proven liars are the dumbasses.
I'm not moved by any of them, but I like bringing them in here because we can ask them questions, and I hope we ask some of the questions that people want answered. That's all. Because you know what? They're slippery.
Yeah.
They try to get away from this stuff. So if you can get them in a room and you can ask them questions, then they're forced to answer them. And sometimes you can see they've never thought about the answer to that question before.
So I was thinking about something yesterday because I do listen to the show, and I thought, what if all of these guys with their so-called claims, what if we had a standardized exam? So, like, do you actually know what economics is? Like, what if we had the standardized exam and rather than going, I'll do this, I'll do that, we'll go, okay, right, so you scored 78 out of 300, which would mean that you're probably not a great candidate.
That would be the most brilliant thing imaginable. You sit them all down, standardized test, and whoever scores the highest test, we all vote for them.
Well, some of them won't be able to participate in that test.
Yeah,
they can't read.
We'd have a higher regard for it. But let's make a test. I'm tired of seeing all these stupid like politician
yeah, I'm with
persons.
You.
Let's make a standardized test.
Okay.
And that shows how capable you are.
And the pass rate needs to be what, 180?
No, it's just you need to beat the other ones. They're all going to be stupid.
All right. Well, talking about stupid. So apparently, there's a plus size plane passenger versus an annoying mom with a toddler. Now, this is an interesting story because I have no time for either of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
I have none. I've often pressed the button and I know it's very rude and I know I'm going to make enemies this way, but I don't care. I've got, like, I don't know, 2-hour flight to Cape Town to go on. I'm not going to sit in misery. So if someone enormous comes to sit next to me, I press the button. I say, I'm so sorry. And the cabin crew, they go like, oh, what's the problem, sir? And I go, this person's too fat. I can't sit next to them.
Oh, wow.
Straight up. They have to move me because they realize I'm the problem passenger and I'm very rude. And they're like, oh, that's very rude. I'm like, I don't care. You don't have to move me. And then they move me and they find me a place next to someone who's not so fat. Same goes with screaming toddler. Screaming toddler, press the button. I'm sorry, I can't sit next to screaming toddler.
It's not you.
Yeah, it's not you. And it is you. You're the mother. You can't keep your child under control. I'm out. So, it's not my problem. I'm not bearing the burden of your bad life decisions, I need to move.
Bad life decisions.
So something I find interesting about this story, and I think there's a clear winner in this.
Mm-hmm. There is a winner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. You know what? We always give large people quite a bit of stick for reasons.
Yeah.
This person, okay, currently obese, going about their life, booked two seats.
Oh.
So it's like, you know what? I'm a large person.
That's very,
very
nice.
Very, very large. So I'm going to buy two seats. I'm going to enjoy my flight. No stress, no fuss. Sits down. However she wants to on those
She's
two
got
seats.
Two seats. She paid
do whatever
for them,
she wants.
Do whatever
she wants.
Right.
This woman now has a kid. And now this kid doesn't have his own seat because it's like still a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this woman got all uppity about the fact this woman was taking up two seats when her child could be sitting on one of them.
You see, that's the problem right there. That's
now
that
I'm with
this woman
slave.
Should have been. That's what I said. There's only one winner here.
What do you say, Simpira?
Yeah, that is very obvious. And this is what a lot of mothers tend to do. They tend to want us to kind of like understand when they're underprepared and just make space for their little toddlers when they're running around at the mall or in restaurants. Oh, just understand, right. It's Tommy, just being Tommy. No, okay, no, ma'am. This is a public space, and you didn't buy two seats, so you get what you bought. It's the same thing when they're at restaurants and they're annoying the hell out of us, and I look at them and I'm like, shut up, like, you making a noise, bruh, and you brought your kid here and now you want me to be the understanding person. Or when you're like in front of the line and then the kid is like, and then they want you to move and you're like, no, I've also been waiting here for 3 hours.
I think it boils down to a very simple thing. It's like, how much consideration do you have for other people? That's all.
That's a basic.
If you have no consideration for other people, you must expect no consideration in return. So if you're the kind of person who just lets your kid scream and carry on and make a huge noise, then I'm not going to be nice and friendly and polite. I'm going to say, you and your horrible little harridan of a child need to be taken to the back of the plane and smothered because I don't have to be nice. But if you are nice and you're like, I'm so sorry, kids, like, you know, acting up, and I'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, hopefully you get that under control. And I'm not going to sit there and complain about them.
But like,
and if you're a big fat woman and you buy two seats because you want to make yourself as little of a problem to everyone else as possible, I'm on your side. I'll be like, I'll defend you to the hilt. So again, and I can base this on experience from last week, planes are horrible. Buses, planes, anywhere where you're crammed into tight space with other people, queues, anything like this, my kryptonite, right? I'm not good at that stuff. Nobody is, really. And there's this situation where there's this woman and she's got like four bags. She's got a handbag, she's got a laptop bag, she's got a little purse, and she's got a bag. And now she's struggling because she's this high to put the bag in the thing. And because she can't get the bag in the thing, she's blocking up the aisle for everybody. Now we all must wait. And I mean, the plane's going to be delayed. She's taking an awfully long time. She takes this one off, then she takes that one off, then she takes this one off.
Oh my God.
Then she puts this one up. And eventually she gets the bag up, but then she stands in the aisle for some more time. And arranges her stuff how she'd like it in her seat.
See, that's the entitlement that was created by the Titanic.
Right. That woman drowned.
It was because of the woman and children first thing. She now feels entitled to do this.
Well, again, just how much time do you think about other people? Like if I stand at the bottom of an escalator, there's an escalator. You can't stand at the bottom because people are going to bunch up behind you. There's going to be a problem. So you move away from the escalator to look at your phone or whatever it is you need to do. People don't think about these things. They think about themselves. In the shops, some lady yesterday did grocery shopping for the first time in ages. Some lady yesterday storming down the aisle with her trolley. Literally, people are flying out of the way, right? And then she stops in the middle, turns her trolley this way. No one can get past. I'm like, you don't think about anyone but yourself. So I'm going to be rude to you because that's the only way people like that improve. Shame. You need to shame them into behaving themselves.
Absolutely. That's a universal thing you never get away from.
You are a disgrace. You are an embarrassment to humanity. Your family don't like the way you behave. They're all too scared of you. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And you're not going to like me, but I don't care because after I left the shop today, we're never going to see each other again. And if we do, you'll be embarrassed, not me, because you're taking up all the space. Get out of the way. Not everybody wants to be stuck at the macaroni. People want to keep moving. They're also here to shop. They have things to do. Probably more important things than you, judging by the look of you. Let's get the fuck out of the way.
Please.
Not even please. Because at that point, she's past it. We should all just do that a little more. And you know, you can't then, if you're her... You can't then go, oh, well, you're very rude.
Oh, wow.
You turned your trolley at perpendicular to the way the aisle goes. And now you're, spaghetti. Hmm, 14 rand, 13, 14, 18, oh, 21 rand. I think I'm going to go. Too long. Taking up too much space. No consideration for other people. You've broken the pact. So now I'm going to be rude to you. Until then, I'm great. You know I'm polite. Right? I'm very polite. I'm nice to people. Until you break the pact. We need to start telling people when they've broken the pact.
Yeah, it's only fair.
Also, when they're ordering food, please stop like looking at the menu for like 20 minutes when you're right in front.
Oh.
Like, dude, you should have moved aside if you can't decide.
Right.
Like, I'm hungry as well. I want to get McD's or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the driveway, just because we're in the car doesn't mean you also allow 20 minutes to be like,
have you seen that at the drive-ins?
Yes, it annoys me. I hoot. I'm just like, chief, this is supposed to be the fast lane. Why are we on the slow lane?
Beep, 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 beep.
You know? Or at the till where they've gotten everything. They're like, oops, sorry, I just forgot the mayonnaise. No, you're going to pay now and you can shop around afterwards. Like, no, please,
okay,
no.
Well, we're all unburdening ourselves this morning. Good.
Sure.
Because we need to get society back under control.
Yes.
People need to start behaving again like they did on that Titanic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That was the full circle moment of this, really.
That's pretty
good. Sense of community,
good,
if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you want to get off your chest, Ben, that people need to behave with?
No, not really.
Wait, whilst we on...
Because my expectations are quite low, so I have very little.
Wait, there's more.
Yes. So I've actually been quite consistent with gym, you know.
Good.
Nice.
I've been going for the past 8 weeks.
Great.
You know, making sure I'm looking mean, lean. And let me tell you, I've picked up one or two issues at the gym now where I'm like, this can't be it. First and foremost, there's these gym boys that hog up all the equipment and they just make noise and they're there with their friends.
Good.
And I'm just like, no, sir.
Bring it all out.
What's the noise?
Bring it all out.
No, you know, these kids, they took the box things that you jump on, they stacked them up and then they were playing arm wrestling. Imagine.
Yeah, so people, this is a geographical problem.
It's an East Rand problem, this. I'm with Ben.
I was so mad. I was like, oh, hell no. You must be glad that I'm just here to work out and not fight anybody.
But Ben, she is right. There are those guys who will take the 14, 16, 18 kilogram dumbbells and they'll have them all there at the same time, plus the bench. And then they'll look at someone funny if they want to use another piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And again, it's entitlement. It's no consideration for someone else.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I'm going to agree with you, but there's also a nuanced kind of side to that. If a guy has a certain workout in mind, it's nice to be able to have those things around.
But he doesn't own the gym.
I know he doesn't own
the
gym.
There are other people, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
But this is why I don't like commercial gyms, because you don't have the space and luxury to do these kind of things, so you must abide by everyone around you.
Yeah.
But if a guy wants to work out in a certain way, that's kind of how those things work. So say, for example, he's doing drop sets, or if he's working towards a range where he needs 3 or 4 different kinds of weights, he will make a mess and take up space. But then he must go at an off-peak time.
No, I agree.
But he must go at a time where he has the freedom and the time to do this.
Mm. Right.
But that's just number one. Number two, the gym girlies that wear inappropriate gym clothes.
Can you imagine what a Boksburg gym looks like? I am actually, my mind is buzzing here.
What do you think first, before you tell us?
It's like H2O on pre-workout.
You think it's H2O?
I'm just saying, there's I get it, ma'am. You looking snatch, you know, but... Just dress appropriately, and just dress appropriately. An oversized shirt never hurt anybody.
Gym thoughts. You talking about gym thoughts?
I am, you know, and it looks like, man, we all out here breaking a sweat. We all out here you know, puffing, huffing. We don't need to see you and be distracted by you as well, really. And then last but not least, the people there that are just there for fun, I've seen it. I have a gym partner. So we'll get in there and be like, okay, today we're doing full body. And then we get at it. And then we'll see, just by the corner of our eyes, there's these other girlies copying our workouts, but they got the form wrong. And then after 2 reps, she's on her phone, taking selfies. And I'm just like, ma'am, if you're going to be here at gym,
this
let's be serious.
Fascinating.
Let's be serious.
David Attenborough should do a special series on, East Rand gyms. Can you imagine?
Oh, so you don't go through this? I thought this was, universal gym problems.
No, it is. And I just love that you're getting into all of that, because there are a whole host of different problems that come with the gym now. I mean, there's that idea that really, really sweaty people don't ever use a towel, which upsets the hell out of me. There's also the gross and disgusting locker room lack of etiquette that old men have.
Old man balls.
Old man balls. Now, this has come up often on the show, but really it bears repeating, because there's something about men, once they hit a certain age, they just don't care anymore. They don't care. They don't care about their wives. They don't care about women. They don't care about other men. They just let their balls just hang out everywhere.
Well, I get the double whammy.
Repulsive.
I get that and the golf club locker room. The golf club locker room is actually a different set of... Nothing reminds you about how fragile and short life is and how insignificant you become. Because there's a general guy code. Anyone can adhere to this, right? You're not looking at someone's pecker. You're not going around going, oh, look at that guy, look at that guy. Like, women maybe think we do this. You don't. Like, your mind.
No, you try to not.
You try not to.
Yeah, and you especially don't draw attention to it. Like, you don't talk to a guy while he's standing there like that.
No, your eyes, it's like when you get smart cameras that can follow things, they track towards certain things. Yes. With guys, your eyes track to things you need to touch, like the soap or the tap or whatever. Okay. Danger and the floor. That's it. Those are your three options. But now when you get these old guys who just, they're there and like you can't help but just like notice them. And old man penis is one of the most
It's horrible.
It's like, it's where every dream has died in a visual, basically. I don't know. I'm trying to like share this with you because you shared your gym story. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more depressing. And you look at and like, you don't look at it and go, oh my gosh, look at that. But you can't help but like see it.
Yeah.
And it's
very depressing because you realize like at some point you're going to be that old man.
Never.
No, you've got to fight, Ben.
I agree with you, and I will win.
One day, oh, miserable day, you will look in the mirror and you'll go, oh, I mean, it could be at 80, it could be at 90. You may have some good years ahead, but you're going to reach that point where you're like, oh, it's me. And I just hope at that point I still care enough about people around me. Again, consideration, that I wouldn't unveil all of that to the unhappy masses who have to then take it in.
But I think it's like you get to that point where you go, oh, well, that's me. And therefore you have zero shame now.
Yeah.
But then you see it with younger guys.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like, I'm not saying like micro penises. It's just that there's nothing there anymore. It's like below your waist is given up. It's checked out. It's like, this is why I'm struggling to describe this to you, but I feel like I've already started, so I can't stop now. It's like when you drive to Cape Town and in the Karoo, those towns, like you can see there was something there before, but it's gone. It's like there's no more thatch in the ceiling. Like there was a shop
there.
You're
not helping the situation.
And it's just, again, like you try and mind your own business, but there it is. And then there's always a company with the sullen look, you know. And it's like, oh, so you're still young. It's just, it's a weird thing, but these are the things that men have to grapple with.
Sun Marie says, old man balls are like lightning. You don't want to look, but you see.
What gym are you going to?
That's hilarious. All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Great to spend some time with you this Friday.
And congrats to the new setup, guys. This is really impressive.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's lots of fun.
It still feels weird being in here, but this is great.
It is weird being in here, but we'll get used to it. There's still a lot to get used to. It's only our first week in the new studio, and we've also got lots of things to change. So just hang on. I promise you, we're working on all of it at once. Okay. Do men care at all, though? And this is Snae. I always thought that's how they are and have always been. I sometimes see men walking around with their hands in their pants. I think that's where it starts. Well, Snae, I don't know. I mean, I think that as men get older, they get less and less shameful about the way that they look and behave.
Okay.
And that can have good and bad ramifications. Obviously, I feel most sorry for old women because they have to be around these old men. You know, some of these guys go home and they've got a wife who has to put up with that like bad attitude to life. So I don't know the answer to it, but I do think that the upshot of being one of those old men who doesn't care is you say exactly what's on your mind. And sometimes we need to hear that in society. So I'm not entirely opposed to them. I'm opposed to having to look at them in the gym. Just like you're opposed to the gym thoughts.
Yeah.
And the guys who have all the weights and all the equipment. And yeah, I get it. I just love how you're into this and now it's starting to annoy you that you can't do your things your way.
Yeah, like I'm just like, I thought, you know, we are all have one purpose, which is to get fit as a community, get healthy.
That's why you go there.
Yes.
But these people are breaking the code.
Yeah, they are. And then I'm just like, no, not today, Satan. Not today. I'm still going to work out. I'm still going to huff and puff and get this workout in.
Well, but I'm proud of you, Sims. Well done.
Thank you.
Keep that going.
Yes.
So our guest is Talana Simpson. You can see her there sitting next to Simpiwe. She is also known as the matchstick girl because she's been known for trading a single matchstick up in value with the ultimate goal of reaching office space, which she wanted to offer startup entrepreneurs to help them get their businesses off the ground. So, Talana, tell us the story. Why do they call you Matchstick Girl? I tried to explain it, that you take a matchstick, you find something that's marginally more valuable than that, you trade up, then you find something marginally more valuable than that and trade up until eventually you have something that's not just a little bit, but a lot more valuable.
Yeah, I heard of a guy called Kyle MacDonald many, many years ago who started with a red paperclip. And he was busy trying to turn it into a house. And it just blew me away. And I thought, if that guy can even attempt, I want to try. And what do I need? I need an office. I just started my coaching practice. And I'm sure other startups need it. So if I can turn a matchstick into an office space, that would just be amazing. Just the possibility of it. So I literally started with a matchstick and I told everyone I knew. It was also my first blog ever. Blogs had just come out.
How long ago was this?
2006.
Wow, okay.
In June 2006,
I started. Simpiwe was like, she was, just a thought.
I know it's been an epic journey. But so I told everyone I got this matchstick and I want to turn into office and we're going to help startups if we get there and
make
me an offer.
Problem is everybody has these dreams, right? And they're like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I mean, I meet people all the time who have big dreams, but they have no idea of how to get there. And yet you've got there. So that's the magic ingredient I want to know about.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It just didn't want to go away, this idea. And it really, I really believe anything is possible and everything is negotiable. You can always find a way. And what Matchstick has taught me is that you've always got something around you that can be your starting point.
Right.
So literally, I loved candles. I had a box of matches on the desk. So I thought, I'm going to start with this matchstick. I mean, what else? So it's 1 cent. I worked out it costs 1 cent for a matchstick. I think it was probably less then. And I just spoke to people. I just put it out there and I had people make me a few offers and I chose to trade with Nikki for an ordinary green ballpoint pen. And the reason I chose with her out of all the offers, some of the other offers were in perceived value more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But hers came with giving me the pen at a networking event. So I knew I'd get exposure. Oh, okay. And I thought, well, that's what I need most right now is I need more people to know about
the story. Did she ever feel pissed off she only got a match?
No, she's actually passed away, sadly.
I'm sorry.
During the year, but she has kept that matchstick. It's apparently been on,
really?
Was on a wall all these
It's become
these
a story.
Years. So she was very proud to be part of it. And,
okay, so you went matchstick, ballpoint pen, then what's the next
pen
step?
Pen to a toy frog, Rodriguez, who actually traveled all over the world with people. But then the frog to two books, business books with Rita. Rita... with the books I traded with Nick for two cases of wine, a really good first sighting wine. The wine for a holiday in Utopia.
You see, a lot of people would have stopped at the wine and just drank it up.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't mine. A lot of people have asked me, why don't you just keep that? And I'm like, well, it's not my end goal. I really want
no, this is great.
For myself.
Good.
Okay.
So the wine you traded for?
The wine for a holiday in Michalisburg, Utopia.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's interesting.
That was a good deal.
Mm. The only people who would offer me anything for that holiday was two people, Greg Gaynor and Gerald, and they only offered me money. So I thought, well, let me try rand. So I got 3,000 rand. It was the hardest thing to trade. You'd think it's the easiest, money. But everybody understands money, mm-hmm. and everyone was offering me only things at 3,000 rand or less in value. That's what blew my mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you less, something that's less valuable than 3,000 rand.
Yeah.
Give me the. And I'm like, I spat on it. And I was at a party, dinner party, and one of the offers was a wild horse. Like, seriously, someone offered me a wild horse for the 3,000 rand. And there was someone at the dinner party who knew about horses. So I was drilling this woman, like, what's involved with wild horses? And she put me off. There's just so much involved. But another lady said, what are you talking about? And I explained, I'm doing this matchstick thing, trading it up. And she says, well, I've got a hot air balloon flight voucher that I don't want.
Okay.
Oh.
It's worth more than that. Well, I worked out. And within 30 seconds, I shook her hand. We did the deal.
And now you suddenly have something again where the value is not necessarily exact. So you can trade a little up and down. Depends on how much people want something.
It's all perceived value.
You know, if you're thirsty, there's no amount of money you wouldn't pay for that water.
Yeah.
But water otherwise has no value to us. We'll leave a tap on. We don't care about it. But this is the really, really important question at the heart of all of this is, what is value? Mm. Because value isn't just what something's price is. Is that what you discovered?
Yes, absolutely. It's totally about the perceived value, what someone else perceives as.
Yeah.
They like what I've got. And people have offered me stuff for free. And I say, no, I'm not doing free. This is, I'm not, nothing about One Matchstick is free. There has to be an exchange of value. So let me jump to how I got, because the last trade, it will explain that some more. So where do we get up to?
Hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon, right. Then that I traded with DJ L for a party for 150 people.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And I'm going to give you the short version of this.
Sure.
That I then traded for 375 designer t-shirts. And then I traded those t-shirts with 216 people. So some people really got into them and bought, traded more than once. And that I was introduced to three-way trades, because some people didn't want the t-shirt, but they wanted to be involved. So they would offer me something else.
Okay.
That I would give to someone else in exchange. Like literally we had a three-way trades going.
Good.
So all those 216 people helped me trade those t-shirts into a private rock concert with Wonderboom.
Wow. Now we're talking.
So he would come with his band, Sito, I should say, Vonneboom, to your house and do a full-on concert with you. And that I traded with Renee and Nina for her 30th birthday. He gave it to her, and he gave me three boxes of gear that would take you off the grid. Lovely little solar panels that can charge your thing and the stands and the bags and everything.
I mean, now we're getting to serious money.
Sure. I would have stopped somewhere.
in that journey, I never told people other than 3,000 rand what the value was. But okay. I'm happy to share with you now. So those boxes of gear were 30,000 rand of gear that I had. It took a while to trade those because, one, life happens. Mm-hmm. This has always been my passion project on the side, so not my full time. And life does happen. But I eventually was battling so much to trade that on. I thought, let me start the other way. So I talked about burning the matchstick from both ends.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the one side, now I'm going to go, I need an office space. I need to help startups. That's my vision. Mm-hmm. Lockdown also happened, and I even went through a phase where, do we even need offices? Yeah. Nobody's using offices.
Exactly.
So I really, so the final is part virtual, part physical office space, mm-hmm. the final One Matchstick office. And then I worked out, and I put a pitch together. And during that journey, Alon Reyes of Reyes Corp had phoned me because he'd heard all the story. And he said, I want to give you the office. I actually turned him down because what he offered me then, I didn't think I wanted. Everyone thought I was crazy. I'm like, well, but he's giving me just a hot desk for a couple of months. But anyway, we get to now. So I thought I'd give him first choice. Go pitch him. This is what I want to do with One Matchstick office space, part virtual, part, you know, really help a startup. He said yes. But now here there's perceived value, right? He just said, you can have it. I'm like, no, I want to trade it.
Again, if you get something for free, there's no real appreciation of it.
No, and it's not what One Matchstick is trying to show people and me. It was that, can I actually do this? Because it's been so many years now. So it took him, well, we had so many emails and phone calls to work out what I could give him. I gave him all these ideas.
Mm.
So eventually he came up with a menu list of stuff he needed for one of his training rooms.
Okay.
And I went out to the world and I said, I need blinds and I need a TV and a projector and a podium and heaters. And ended up, I found Vainon from the blind guys. He said he'll do the blinds. But he didn't want a box of gear because now I've got to make the two match. But what he did and what he was open to, because now this is the first time I traded with myself, if it makes sense. I offered him coaching because that's what I do. So I'm busy coaching one of his franchisees. And in exchange, then I got a box of gear.
Okay.
Gave him the coaching. He gave the blinds. And we ended up doing the same for the podium. It was an amazing podium. I found the best one in Cape Town.
I mean, to cut to the chase on this, because I find all of these trades fascinating in that, again, perceived value. Everybody has to win something.
Yes.
And people, mostly, if they want something badly enough, they will sell things that are probably much more valuable in an intrinsic sense than that thing that they want, but they want it badly enough. Yeah. And the really brilliant people are the ones who can figure out that margin between how much people are prepared to pay for something or what they're prepared to trade for something and what it's actually worth. Would you agree? Like, that is where really brilliant people figure out all the money. Truly wealthy people in this world who are able to buy it for this, sell it for that. That's brilliant.
It's adding value. I mean, I think that's what entrepreneurship is. It's taking something and can you add some kind of value to it, even if it's a perceived value. That
so
makes
with your,
it more valuable that you can then benefit.
So with your office space now, you're helping other entrepreneurs. You're giving them a place to work from.
Well, it's going to end up being one entrepreneur, but I'm hoping my story will help a lot of people. And then the online version is I've started a podcast called Risk and Rise, which is just around the fear of failure. I really am. When I started this, there weren't many incubators. There weren't many co-working spaces and that. So I've really in my coaching as well, I've come to specialize in that fear of failure. It's one of
but
the
But you've actually, what you've got a competition on at the moment.
Yeah. So sorry. So the virtual is to help entrepreneurs get over that fear of failure. And then now we need to find, I'm calling it the one matchstick entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Someone actually will get 6 months office space. So then they're not going to pay rent.
So in other words, if you're sitting listening to this now going, oh, this is exactly the kind of thing I need in order to get ahead. I want to be able to start my business. But the only thing that's missing is a place to work from, a place to have internet, a place to be able to sit and meet with people.
Yes.
And if you need to have all of that happen, so how can people enter?
So if they go to onematchstick.co.za, all the details are there.
Okay.
But they literally just got to get a hold of me. Shoot a video, explain their business, what they want to do with it, why they need an office in Joburg. Tag me in it or send me an email and just give me some information.
onematchstick.co.za.
And then just can I say what comes with this, it's not just office space. It's because it's in the incubator, you're not part of the actual incubation process, but you have access to that entire network. You're in this vibey space of fellow entrepreneurs.
Oh, absolutely.
It's such an exciting space. So if you're a startup,
that's where you want to
be. That is where you want to be because you will have so many doors open just by the people you are mingling with there, as well as the encouragement and support of that early startup phase.
Do they need to have a matchstick as well?
You got
to
start somewhere.
No, they just need to have a committed. I actually brought, because everyone loves this as well, is I always have matchsticks with me. But that's actually my business card now.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
So I've written on it one matchstick. But
oh, wow. On the actual matchstick?
Yes.
Isn't that so cool?
So
that's very cool.
So it's just to show you, you don't have to go and spend money on getting business cards. Find something around you. Be creative. That sticks out and makes it more of a statement than.
I promise I won't use this to light something and then throw it away. That would be very rude.
Well, there's 70,000 rands worth of office space potential
exactly.
matchstick. So.
Just in trading, in taking that matchstick and everything else that you traded up the chain, there's something about that with people. And you said money was the hardest thing to exchange. Do you think that we've lost something in not just trading with each other? The way that we used to, and money obviously makes things a lot easier in so many ways. Because I can say, well, I need a phone. How much will you sell me your phone for? And then I've always got something readily available to trade with that you know has a certain value attached to it. But if I only had, as you did, gear or, I had a toy frog or whatever, I'd need a hell of a lot of toy frogs on demand to be able to get a phone.
Yes.
But do you think that we've lost something and not actually sitting down and working out like what you need, what I need? Because money tends to take all the story out of it.
It takes the story out of it, but it also takes the creativity or the possibility out of it. I find a lot of startups that you work with, I can't even start the business because I don't have money. It becomes literally the thing that stops them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but you don't need money to start a business. You need an idea. You need to be adding value. If you have a product or service that adds value, you will always have customers. You don't need money to start that. You just need to be communicating it. So I do think there's, we become lazy with money. It's just, I can't afford it.
That's it.
Versus how can I afford it? Do I really need money to afford it? What could I do to get the money if that's the only currency that person will trade in. I mean, I was cheeky once. I walked into a shop and said, I'm not paying you. I want those rock climbing shoes.
What did they say?
I did had met the owner, though, so I suppose that did help. And I did walk out with rock climbing.
Simpiwe.
I need to speak to you after this. Need to learn how to do that.
Simpiwe is like, I just discovered my purpose in life is to go and walk into shops and say, I want those and I'm not paying you for them.
But
right?
I had applied it to my actual business. I wanted to upgrade my website, and I couldn't afford it. So I was saving. But I thought, well, while I'm saving, let me see. I went to the website guy. I said, if I were to barter, what would you need?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they wanted a listing on a website. So I went to the website. Could we barter for that? And I ended up four-way trade. The wine guy came in again.
Hmm.
So wine, the website listing.
You see, alcohol is very important. Yes, let that be the moral of the story. Wine.
There we go.
In
helps
particular.
But yeah, I applied it to my actual day-to-day life and my business when it's really needed. There's no reason not to upgrade your website if you don't have the cash now.
But also,
find a way.
Isn't it also true that you've always got something of value around you, even if it's your labor?
Yes.
Like you can always trade, you know, I tell you what, I'll fix that that wall. I'll patch that crack that you got in the wall with some polyfiller, but I'll come tomorrow afternoon and do it. You can give me 40 rand. I'll take that 40 rand and buy something that I really need. The guy who's getting it at the shop is going to be able to pay for his kids' school that year or whatever. You don't know. This is how money moves. That's the economy, actually. Yeah. And you break it all down. I think this is fascinating.
It's even same way with people who are struggling to find work.
Mm-hmm.
And the excuse is I don't have experience. Go volunteer. There's so many companies that if you have that as your spirit, listen, you don't have to pay me. I just want to spend a couple of days here. That can open doors and give you the experience.
Carl DeSantos says in the comments, hang on, has this lady been training the ANC? They always take shit and don't pay for it.
But I am paying for it. That's the thing. I'm trading.
Don't worry, Carl gives everyone trouble. All right, well, listen, cool. I love this, and good luck. onematchstick.co.za if you want to go and enter. You need some office space for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Alon Reyes, I mean, if you get to spend time around that guy, it's worth it, right? He's awesome.
If you want to get your business to another level, this is a place to be. It's really an opportunity.
Love it.
And I hope we find the One Matchstick startup soon.
All right. Very, very good. Well, thanks, Talana. Thanks for coming in to see us this morning.
Thanks.
Very nice to see you. That is a wrap for us this Friday morning. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Be good. Cheers.
Bye.